Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks for being here this morning on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are the morning shift. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan, Dylan hanging out as well. We're about to break down the five-minute drive that sealed Atlanta's win on Monday. But if you're looking for plans this Friday, 92.9 The Game is in Athens ahead of Saturday's big game between Georgia and Ole Miss. Join Dukes and Bell at Grindhouse on Lumpkin Street for a special broadcast from 2 to 6. They'll have special guests and analysis, plus a preview of all the weekend's pro and college football action. That's Friday from 2 to 6 at Grindhouse on Lumpkin Street in Athens. Now, guys, let's rewind. That amazing game that we've all been basking in, Falcons-Bills, Monday Night Football. Let's go ahead and hear from Raheem Morris on that play with Felipe Franks.
It's been in the works for a while, but it's a copycat league. You know, you steal those things from other people. You know, San Fran, we've seen run it. We've seen a couple people run it last week. It's copycat league, and Felipe fits that mold. You know, obviously, he has the quarterback background. He has some of those different things. We go out there now, 13 personnel, so he can definitely add that to us and some of those in some of that world. But you're always trying to get better, and when you're trying to get better, that entails stealing things from other people, and that was just a great theft moment.
I love the way he put that because it's so truthful, and it really is a copycat league. I remember. Offensively, defensively, you'd watch plays from around the league, going and watch tape, kind of break things down like that. But I distinctly remember on special teams, our special teams coordinator, Keith Armstrong, would have a cut up every single week of the plays that happened from around the NFL. It wasn't like, hey, let's get in here and watch hard tape. You'd do that too, but you'd have plays from around the league where you're like, man, check out what this team did. Check out what this guy did. Mm-hmm. Watch this guy. Watch how smart this play is. Watch what this guy's doing. And you'd kind of break it down from that angle. So to hear Raheem just be blunt, be like, copycat league, seen other guys do it, love it, it is what it is. And it was a massive play inside of that five-minute drive where you were able to, first of all, put one on the books earlier in the game where you did convert and get the first down. But in the five-minute drive, obviously he steps up, is able to draw them off sides in a massive, massive first down where you could just kind of hand it off three straight times to Algier after that and kind of settle for the field goal. So I thought that was really, really cool wrinkle as far as that drive goes. Yeah.
Be creative. So you want me to steal from somebody else?
Yes. Yes. Okay. That's exactly what we want.
Hey, I called for it, though. That's what I got a couple people who tweeted me. They're like, hey, didn't you want Warner to get a carry? I go, yeah. They're like, well, Frank's got one. I go, yep. I was like, it's kind of cool. I mean, I didn't expect it like that. I didn't think it would be like, you know, I just didn't think. You say it, and you're like, yeah, that'd be cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then you forget it because – you know, you get in the game, and then they do it, and you're like, wait a minute, is that
– Right. And you know what? You remember us having this conversation when we were talking about Charlie Warner, and I was like, you know, I don't know that – because I said the other side of the coin is going to be the guy's never taken a handoff before.
Yep.
You're really going to trust Charlie Warner in this situation to take a handoff. There you go. Felipe Franks sitting there in our midst as a guy who has played quarterback before and has taken a handoff. I think you do trust him. We had this conversation, and I was like, I could see him doing a read option, but I didn't. The quarterback sneak was something I kind of didn't see coming, but you love it. I think it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah,
I love it.
I think I envisioned it more exactly like you did the read option where you just take it, and it was never a read at all. You were keeping it the whole time and just kind of, you know, burrowing in there behind the line of scrimmage and doing your own version of, a little scrum, a little tush-push type play.
Yeah.
Well, let's zoom out on that entire five-minute final offensive drive. What was it about that drive that was so impressive to you guys?
Well, I think Bo and I kind of share the same sentiment. It was the fact that, and Raheem talked about this after the game, you just kept the pedal down. Like, you didn't really change much about your offense. I would say, if anything, Bijan was off the field more for the final five-minute drive than you would expect him to be. But I go back and look at the tape, and I hate to even say this out loud. I think he was exhausted. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, it was fine with me that you – that's what Algier's there for, in my opinion.
He got speared in this drive late. He goes down, and the DB comes across the top and spears him. And he came off the field right after. Like, literally, he gets up and goes off the field, and we didn't see him again. Tired is maybe one thing. I think he might have been – they had the slightly wind knocked at him. It was a dirty play. I think it was Taylor Rapp that did it. I had to go back and completely hone in on the number. I thought that, to me, the best thing about it was the fact that they used the short passing game as an extension of the run game because of the defense. You know, this is late. You've gashed this team. They've now adjusted in running in known running situations, and they've got five guys with their hand in the dirt, essentially, up front, and another two or three in the box. You know, they're crashing that safety down. You come out with a little swing, you know, a little sideline route there for Bijan, and you get eight right off the bat, and then that puts you in a short yard situation. You're able to run the football, right?
Yeah.
And then you come back, and you get the false start by Wilkinson, which was a garbage call by the referees because it was no different than any other tackle does these days. Go watch Lane Johnson. You know, go watch Maialata. Those guys do the.
I say it all the time. If you're playing tackle and you're looking at the football and waiting for the snap, you're late.
You're late. Yeah, you're right. Late. So you're timing it in your head, and you're, you know, listening to the call. So that puts them at first and 15. Now they're back in the passing situation. What do they do? A nice short pass to Algier that's safe. Dump off. If you want to call
it. I think it was a screen. I think it was a screen.
It was a screen.
Yeah,
and it goes for six, and then. You know, Bosa is in his face, and you get the big throw to Bijan. It would be an amazing find, and Bijan doesn't have to get the first down. And you kind of continued the short passing game because right. of the defense they're playing.
I think it's interesting that in that final, and I don't know how many plays it was. What, we got 10 before you just started running it up the middle with Algier right there at the end? I don't even count the last three plays because they literally have 10 guys in the box. Every single guy in the last three plays, the last set of downs, is triggering coming downhill. So I think he had 10, 11 plays probably before that. Three of those passes go to Bijan, one of them to Algier. Like and those are passes. I'm talking about not handoffs. Those are passes. The rest of them just – and like I said, they did a nice job kind of mixing Algier in here. The first couple of plays are pistol with Algier, you know, and then you're motioning Bijan. And then you take Bijan out, and Algier stays in. And it was just very comfortable in the way you went about your business down the field.
This is where I get, you know, I listen to too much and I get irritated because I hear people say, well, be creative. But then in certain situations, well, I don't know why we're throwing the football there. Should have just been running it. You were throwing the football as an extension of the run game because of the defense. Mike just told you that with the short. When you're using the running backs in a passing game, most of them short, other than the pass to Bijan on the sideline, which was more of a, I know that he's there. I got to get this ball out. He underthrew it. Because he had Bosa in his face, Bijan makes a good job of stopping for it. I also think that Bijan is a receiver in this offense at times as well, especially with Mooney out. But it was all done to keep the ball moving, to keep the clock churning, and to get the first downs because of how they were loading up to stop the run.
Yeah, and I think the overall thing that I take away, and obviously I look at it, guys, from a very slanted perspective. Like I look at it and go, okay, your backup left tackle's in. What can you do? You can run screens. Two of these plays were screens. One to Algier, one to Bijan. You also had, and I haven't seen this the entire season, you ran the speed motion with Tyler Algier, with Charlie Warner in the back there in the shotgun. You know how he kind of offsets? And you ran the speed motion with Algier and ran wide zone, which we have not seen. Algier does not run that play. That's Bijan's play. And you put Algier offset outside the formation, run the speed motion, and you hand it off to him where Michael Penix is turning around. And that's another way to help your left tackle because all of a sudden that guy's flying outside for contain. He's got to get contained with the speed motion. Michael Jarrell is able to kind of shove him out of the play.
And that.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
That was one that they almost housed that. That was a bump. He got bumped, and his right leg gets bumped as the defender and they're blocking and kind of knocks him down. He came up just short. But I just thought it was the only play I had a problem with was the decision by Penix.
That was rough, dude.
First down, I think it's on the 19. Bad. And he's getting pressure, but because they were bringing it, man. They were not holding back at that point. And you do have Jarrell in there. And he throws it. He's Drake London locked in, and he throws it. It should have been picked off housed.
It should have been
for a pick six.
Makes me sick to think about.
I think it was Bernard that dropped it, the linebacker. But you get or Williams won. You got lucky there. You got a little lucky. But look, that's every game. But I just thought it was very creative. You knew what they were doing. You knew what you had left. You knew where you were. And you're like, let's use their aggressiveness in the run game as an advantage with the two screen passes. You know, getting it out to Algier, you called it the speed, but the orbit, right, where he's orbiting around the back, which we saw a lot of, by the way, a lot of that Monday night. I hadn't seen that much. Have you seen that much with the backs orbiting in the plays where they're out wide and they're coming in?
It's hard to say. They've done it. I don't know that we've seen it mixed in as much as we did the other day or utilized in a way where you have a play action off of it, you have a screen off of it, you have a handoff off of it. Sometimes it's Bazan, sometimes Algier. Like, you did a lot of different things coming off the bye week with it.
I guess the final take for me, Allie, is we can't scream creativity.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we use creativity to literally ice the game, but because it's not the way we're used to seeing them ice a game where it's just run, where they're using a short passing game, mixing their run in.
Have you genuinely heard somebody say that they don't like that last drive?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I heard a lot of it yesterday on here with callers and hosts. They didn't understand why they weren't running the football. And I'm like, I was like, damn, did y'all not see what they were doing?
Because 6.5 minutes left when we started the drive. What are we doing?
Yeah.
You're just going to run in.
Not to mention they were loading up for it. And Jarrell, people are, you know, like, I think Jarrell did what you want him to do. But if you're watching and going back and looking, it was touch and go. I mean, it wasn't all perfect.
It wasn't great, no.
I am curious if someone listening is one of those that did not like that final 5-minute offensive drive. If you are, tweet us, 929 Morning Shift, or call us during the wake-up call.
It's a good point, Allie, because here's what I will say for people that didn't like it. That ball should have been housed the other way, and it would have been a tie ball game. And you also are stopping the clock at that point. And that's what makes you sick. When you watch it, you're going, that's a missed opportunity by them, and we almost really screwed that up. And that's the danger of throwing in this 4-minute offense.
Yeah, that's the one play that that I would agree with anybody on. But other than that, the drive was good. Got to trust your quarterback, though. He's only 8 games in. Got to make good decisions with the football.
Well, and it's 7 a.m. today. We are going to get to the good, the bad, and the ugly from Monday night's game. But coming up next, Week 8 of college football is upon us. Got a few major matchups to talk about next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.